John chapter 18 this morning.
Heard a preacher one time, he said this. He said he was leading songs. It was actually at the men's retreat. And he said, growing up in church, I always wanted to be a song director leading Blessed Assurance. Like that was like, it wouldn't get much better than that. And I love that song. To be able to slow the whole group down and hit those notes, what a blessing. Appreciate Brother McDowell. Brother Rice is up in junior church, thankfully, with our little people. I think the Warners, depending on how things are going this morning, are doing Pee-wee church for us today. And he said he has a lot of experience with Pee-wee people. So bunch live there, and I'm going to see how well my voice holds up, and I've not done much preaching since my last installment of COVID, so here we go. John chapter 18, I have a lot of verses written out for us, because our topic this morning is truth, and we've got to examine the Word of God if we're going to talk about truth. John chapter 18, Pilate has Jesus standing before him. It is the end of his earthly days, if you will. He's about to be crucified, pay for our sins. And Pilate asked this question in verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? John chapter 18, verse 38. What is truth? Is truth relative? Meaning truth to you is different than truth to me. No, thankful for the Word of God that establishes, defines, and sets the standard for truth, and then, listen now, never moves on it. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you this morning. I need you, not just physically, Lord, need you spiritually here. God, I pray that as we travel through the Scriptures this morning, that God, you would work your perfect work. God, meet our needs. Lord, I don't know the needs, but God, you know the needs. And Lord, I pray you'd use this message to meet those needs. Once again, we love you. We need you. God, we are thankful this morning. God, thankful to be able to meet here together. Thankful that we could sing songs to you. Thankful that we could worship together. Thankful that we could give. Thankful that we could fellowship. Thankful that we can hold the Scriptures in our hands. Thankful that we know the promises that God promises of eternity. Lord, it's good to know those things. Lord, bless the service here now. They'd be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 18, verse 38 asks the question, what is truth? What is truth? It's funny who he's asking the question. Because in John chapter 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If he was going to ask anybody, what is truth? He is talking to truth personified. How awesome is that? Heard a story years ago. A person was on the plane, and they were reading Dr. Heil's book. Dr. Heil's book. And as they were reading it, they were actually sitting next to Dr. Heil's on the plane. Dr. Jack Heil's. Preacher in Hammond, Indiana. And the person was bewildered about a certain passage in the book and said to the person, man, it would be great if I could just ask the author a question. And he says, well, I am actually that. What? How neat to be able to ask the author a question about their book. How awesome would it be to ask Jesus, what is truth? As we ask truth, right? What is truth? Truth is that which is opposed to falsehood. Truth is what we would call an absolute and a very important part of our life. You know, in Exodus chapter 18, Moses is looking to have some judges and to help him. He's got a million or so people to kind of oversee, and it's a little daunting task, Jacob, for one man to do. He says, I could use some help. And he's looking for men, and the qualifications for men were men of truth. Hey, if there was a club that gentlemen we should try to ascribe to and belong to, it would be men of truth. What frustrates us so about watching the news or talking to other people or seeing things? The lies, right? No one likes to be lied to. No one likes it. What do we need? We need truth. Truth, number one, is the very nature of God. In Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him, talking of Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant. Look at now, abundant in mercy and truth. God is abundant in truth. See, sometimes we deal with our toddler and we have to ask our, kind of filter the every conversation with, are they telling me the truth? 50-50 chance, maybe even higher, maybe 75-25, they're not telling me the truth. Why? Because much like toddlers, you and I, we don't like to get in trouble. So when confronted, maybe we'll try and, hey, when talking to the Lord, God says, I am abundant in goodness and truth. God's very nature is truth. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, it says, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. The Bible says this, a God of truth. And then it adds this phrase, and without iniquity. It would be one thing to say truth on one hand, but then to another, do wrong. God says, no, that's not what I am. I am truth all the time. He says, just and right is he. That's Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. In Psalm 33 and verse 4, it says this, the word of the Lord is right, and his works are done in truth. You know what the Lord doesn't have to hide? Justin, you know the Lord doesn't have to hide anything. Everything he does can be completely revealed. He's not like, oh, I hope you don't see that over there. Hope you don't look between the mattresses. Hope you don't look in the top drawer. Hope you don't open up that closet. Hope you don't ask this question. Hope you don't go down that road. No, he says, everything about me is truth. I have nothing to hide because God is always right. His very nature is truth. Say, yeah, but that must have a limit. God's truth must have a limit. Go to Psalm 57. We'll look at some verses this morning. Look at a couple verses in Psalms. Because how could we speak of truth without the Scriptures? The authority of all truth. Our children are learning online purchases. Anybody buy anything online? Brother Jabisky, ever buy anything online? Never. Okay. There's this thing called the internet. It's really neat, and it takes a bunch of marketplaces and brings it right to your house. Dad, look at this. This is awesome. It's a full-size tank for $25.50. Can I get it? And it's like, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's real. And no, look. And they'll show me things, and we have to ask the question, is this real? I was going to buy a little model for one of the kids for Christmas, and the picture that they showed, and then I noticed that the majority of the reviews were one star. So I read that, and they posted pictures of what the actual thing that came in. They said, do not buy this. It's a scam. Isn't it good to know that the thing that you hold in your hand, you never go, is this a scam? Is there a limit to God's truth? Is this going to take, all of a sudden, an unexpected turn? We love maybe movies that keep us on the edge of our seat, and all of a sudden, whoa, didn't see that coming. Darth Vader's his father. Princess Leia's his sister. Didn't see that coming. Do we do that all of a sudden to the Scriptures, and all of a sudden, oh, I've been sold a bill of goods. God isn't who he said he was. Is there a limit to God's truth? Well, Psalm 57, verse 10 tells us this. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. How high does your truth go? as high as the sky is. Yeah, but how long will it last? Turn over to Psalm 100. Look at verse 5. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. We like to read about preachers of old, right? I mean, we read about these men and we hold them in high esteem, and we read about what they did. And was yesterday January 8th? Yesterday was January 8th, right? And yesterday was the anniversary of Nate Saint and those men to the Aka Indians when they were killed on that beachfront. And man, that turned this world upside down. Christianity made public things, and we look at that and we hold them in high esteem and we read about that. Do you understand that the truth that they held that day is still the same truth that we hold today? And you know what? As we teach our children the truth of the Word of God, we don't have to worry about, oh, God's limit or God's truth is going to somehow be compromised or changed. No, the Bible says it endureth to all generations. When I read 2,000 years ago about what life was like as Christ walked through the streets of Jerusalem, and I think, well, things were different. The truth was different back then. No, it was exactly the same. Truth is always truth. Hey, what about 10 generations from now? What is it going to be like? I can't imagine what this world will be like, Benjamin. I can't imagine. If what is accepted and tolerated now, barring the Lord's return, I can't imagine. But you know what it will be right and true? That word. God will still be true because truth endureth to all generations. There is no limit to God's truth. In John chapter 16, go there. John chapter 16. If you mark up your Bibles, these are some verses you might just want to underline about the truth. There's little phrases as we see throughout, and I'll try and point them out to you as we go along. John chapter 16, verse 7, it says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Isn't that a blessing? I like to go out to eat, obviously. And I'll ask the waitress sometimes, "Hey, how is this?" Mm-mm. "Man, I'm so thankful. Saved me $25 on a bad meal." "No, I would get this." "Okay, great. Hey, nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Who tells you the truth? "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Read verse 8. "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." You know what the Holy Spirit does? Tells us the truth. Ever read the Word of God and all of a sudden you're like, "Ooh, that kind of feels like me a little bit. You're reading through and, you know, maybe similar to like Nathan the prophet with David. You read the passage and you go, "I am that person. I don't like that. I don't like to be told that." Yeah, but it's the truth. Truth doesn't always make us happy. The truth, though, is an absolute. It's not like, "Well, for you," and then it's a little bit different for you. No. As we read the Word of God, God reproves us through the Holy Spirit of our sin. And He helps us with righteousness and to discern things and to make right decisions. Look at verse 13. It says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth," that's the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus Christ says, "I'm telling you something, and I'm telling you it's for real." He says, "I'm going to leave and I'm going to send you somebody." He's called the Comforter. And he is, another name for the Comforter is the Spirit of Truth. And the Bible says, "And when he has come, he will guide you into all truth." You know what we need today is a guide. A guide into what is right and what is true. 1 Corinthians 2:13 says, "Which things also we speak, not in the world's which men's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth," comparing spiritual things with spiritual. If we think in ourselves that we can take the Word of God and go, "Here, let me tell you what this means." No, we need the Holy Spirit to teach us. Teach us what truth is. God Himself, His very nature is truth. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of truth. Jesus Christ, again, The Bible tells us in John 14, 6, he saith unto him, I am the way. He says, I am the truth. I am truth. John chapter 1, go there. John chapter 1. As I was preparing for this message, man, I was walking away from my Bible multiple times, just looking at a lot of verses, and I just was rejoicing in my heart. Sarah would ask me, well, what's going on? Nothing. I'm just thankful for the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God. I just love reading the Scriptures, and it encourages my heart. We ought to be able to look at these things and go, man, it's so... Do you know what the weather's going to be tomorrow night? It's like a high of 10. We live in a place where the air hurts our face, and I wonder, why do I do that? But we have the truth of the Word of God at our disposal, at our access. We can open it. We can read it. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of two things. Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. God the Father Himself, His very nature, has no limit to His truth. It's as high as the clouds, and it endures from generation to generation. You will never be sorry for teaching the next generation about God and His character and His nature, because that's something that doesn't change. I remember hearing years ago, don't get these kind of glasses. They look like this guy, and don't wear this outfit. It kind of resembles this guy, and then things change a little bit, you know. And I understand the purpose in saying some of those things. But do you understand that truth is never relative to the times. It is an absolute. Jesus Christ is always the truth. Look at verse 17. It says this. And the law was given unto Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And I am so thankful that Jesus was honest. As we look at the stories of Jesus and how He interacts with people, there He met Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, probably a wealthy man, a man knowledgeable in the things of... And he met with Jesus at night for fear of the Jews. And there He talked with them. You know what Jesus didn't do? He didn't tell him what he wanted to hear. He told him the truth. There, the next chapter, He meets the woman at the well, and there she is. And you know what He did? He told her the truth, which led her to Him even further. And you know, we come to the Lord and say, God, I'm a mess. He says, you're right. You need me. Because Psalm 25, verse 5 says, lead me in thy truth. The path of the Lord is always true. Hey, you never have to be ashamed of following God. You never have to be ashamed of taking the principles of God and saying, hey, I'm gonna do my best to obey what God says and has told me in His Word. You never have to worry about that. You never have to go, is that a good decision or not? You know, buying a used car and you're like, I don't know, it's got low miles, but it's kind of older and it's got this weird sound on the front and right side. Or is this a good decision? Is this a good investment? You got a buddy, hey, you got to buy the stock, man. This is going to go through the roof 600% in the next 24 hours and you got to do, and you're like, yeah, I don't know, I don't. Hey, when you take a step and try and want to follow the Lord, you never have to wonder, am I going the right way? The path of the Lord is always true and it is always right. Psalm 25, 5 says, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. 5 verses later, he says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Psalm 26 and verse 3, it says, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. You know what that tells me? It tells me that the Word of God not only is good for knowledge, but it's good for daily application and use throughout the day. Because I'm walking. I'm not just sitting there with the Word of God. I'm walking with it. That means it is the next step. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If I'm to be walking, it is an active motion. I'm not just to sit back with the truth and say, all right, I hope this all works out good. No, it tells me to walk in the paths of truth. It is not a stability. So many Christians want to, and we'll talk maybe a little bit about this maybe later tonight, but so many Christians look at the horizon of what's going on in the world and say, I'm building a bunker and I am getting away from all of this until Jesus comes. No, we are to walk in truth. Psalm 86 and verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. It says those first few words in Psalm 86 and verse 11, teach me. You know what that means? It's somewhat unnatural for us. I've said this multiple times, 100 times maybe. You don't have to teach a child to lie. It's natural. What we have to teach is truth. In our own life, we have to be taught truth. In Proverbs chapter 8, go with me there. Proverbs chapter 8. I don't know who got the cough drop for me, but I'm very thankful for it. Appreciate it. Just finished it up. It's all gone. I have another one on standby, ready to go if needed. I've done zero coughing, Jacob. Have you seen that? And nose blowing. Healed. Proverbs chapter 8. Good to see Mrs. Beardsley. Man, about a month you were down with that. And I am so glad you're here. And took an extra week of just recovery last week. It was good to see Ashley here last week. And praise the Lord. I'm glad you all are very much on the mend. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 7, it says, for thy mouth shall speak truth. Not only am I to walk in truth, the things that I say are to be spoken truth. Now, let us not forget the example of Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. We got to be careful. Got to be careful because truth in itself is somewhat offensive. Truth in itself, when just spoken without consideration or grace, could push. Now, we know that Jesus Christ is the perfect blend of grace and truth. And we have experienced that personally in our life. But sometimes we're not as good at that. Have we all seen that? What I said was true. Yeah, but you said it in a way that was condescending and hurting. Yes, what you said was true. Let us be careful with that. Not that we neglect speaking truth. For my mouth shall speak truth, Proverbs 8:7. Jump over just a couple pages, Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter number 12, verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Hey, let's remember these things. God says there's great value in telling the truth. I would like you to speak truth. I would like you to walk in truth. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24 says, and the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. The right answer to having the words, true words, is that they come from the Lord. I've been saved. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ when I was 10, in June of 1988. So I've been saved like 33 years. I've been around it for a while. And I've heard people say Thus saith the Lord, when we got to be careful that we not invoke the thus saith the Lord when the Lord never saith. What made Elijah so remarkable to this woman in 1 Kings 17? The word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Which kind of goes back to what we were saying a few moments ago. And John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. If we're to walk in truth and we're to speak truth, can I encourage you that your life also mimic that truth? It's one thing to say it, but then when we don't live it, it makes our words less valuable or less powerful. But when our actions, now I understand we are not perfect, but that is no excuse for us not to try and do right. So when our words and our actions match, that is a great testimony to the truth of the Word of God. That we live truth. What is the testimony of your life? Can the things that you say be believed? Is your conduct one that represents the truth of the Scriptures? Psalm 69 and verse 13, it says this, but as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God. In the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, in the truth of thy salvation. We're going to talk about right now, from now and just about till the end, the most important truthful message that anybody could ever tell you. It's about salvation. Again, many hours people watch business TV and trying to figure out what the next up-and-coming business is to quick money or whatever it is. Watch reviews of whatever it is that you're into to try and make sure that the most important decision, the highest priority of decisions is that concerning salvation and eternity. We know that after this, there's something to come. The Bible tells us about it. There's two places. The Bible says that there's heaven and there's hell. And you know what? We as people have sinned. That's truth. What is sin? Well, it's a mistake. No, sin is breaking the laws of God. Say, I've never sinned before. Have you ever lied? Ever stolen something? Ever want something that's not yours? That's a good one. That gets about everybody. It's called covetousness. Not that we covet our, in the Bible, our neighbor's ox, but they do have a nice tractor or a car or an outfit and somewhere in there. Have we taken the Lord's name in vain? That makes us sinners. Heaven is a perfect and holy and righteous place. For a sinner to come into it, it would defile it. It would no longer be perfect and holy. Holy, according to God, is completely absent from all that is evil. So for a sinner to go into heaven, it would contaminate that. So we've got to get rid of our sin. There's only one way. Remember John 14:6, Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ came to this earth to pay for your sin and my sin. And man, He made it easy. Say, what does it cost me? What am I going to have to do? You actually don't have to do anything. It's all been done. It's all been paid for on the cross. He went to that cross and He shed His blood. He was abused, He was mocked, He was whipped, He was nailed to the cross, and that blood that He shed was good enough to take away your sins. So how do I get the blood from Him to me? Simple. and just ask for forgiveness. You tell the Lord, really honest, and listen, and in truth, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that I deserve hell, but I put my faith and trust in you. Lord, forgive me of my sins. You know what the Bible says? For whosoever does that, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you believe those things and ask God to forgive you of your sins, you know what he'll do? He'll do that. Just as simple as that. Say, do I have to face a certain direction? Do I have to be at a certain... At 10 years old, I was at 25 Knapp Avenue in Irondequoit, New York. Heard about salvation. My Sunday school teacher told me that exact same story. Why? Because the story of salvation is always true. It's been the message that has been preached from generation to generation. And that Sunday school teacher came, and I went for the first time, and I listened to that, and I thought, wow, that's exactly what I needed. I went home that day. I knelt down in the back bedroom. It was an old office at our house, and it became my bedroom right off the kitchen, dining room. I can still see it. Went over by there were two windows on the back wall. Knelt by the window because I thought the light would come from heaven and shine down upon me, and some angelic host would sing. I knew what I was doing. Knelt down there, and I just said, God, I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. Say, what'd you feel? Nothing. No light, no dove, no beam of glory, nothing. No angelic host, Justin. Just walked away with my sins forgiven. Is that real? That's the truth. That's the truth of thy salvation. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. John 8:32, the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Free from the penalty of my sin. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no truth outside of the salvation of the Lord. There is no product, there is no substance, there is no mission or job that will fill the void of truth. People spend billions and billions and billions of dollars to find what God offers for free. I ask that you consider your salvation here today. If today was your last day, and you were going to cross over into eternity, where would you go? Say, I don't know. The Bible says that we can know that we have eternal life. I encourage you to think about the things that were said right here about salvation. In Isaiah 59, go there. We're almost done. I told Mr. Rice, in between 10 after and quarter after 12. All right? That's a little bit longer for junior church. So he was excited about it. He had a big stick. Did you see that big stick? Joe, did you see the big stick? He said the words, weaver's beam. I don't know what he's doing. I'm thinking David and Goliath. That's what I'm thinking. Say, I wish I went to junior church. That sounds a lot more exciting than what you're doing. All right, so I get it. All right. Isaiah 59, verse 15. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. You know what we can do to truth? We can say, you know what? I don't want it. You know what? As powerful as God is, he keeps the world spinning. I saw a scientific explanation of the movement of the solar system. And I thought that the earth stood still and everything rotated around it, right? I mean, we have the little plant. Okay, so I think it's Mercury, and then Venus, and then Earth, and then Mars, and that's kind of about as far as I go with that. And so they're all just spinning around, but what's really awesome is that this sun is also spinning in the galaxy. So these things are spinning as this is spinning around. It was really cool. And we look at all that and go, wow, God can do all that. And he keeps all the birds in the air and the trees growing and seasons. And he knows my name and he knows all that kind of stuff. And yet, He gives me a free will to decide and say, yes, I accept, or no, I don't want it. That blows my mind. But that's what he does. Say, how could truth fail? By me denying it. By me saying, no, I'm going to try and do my own thing. I'm going to try and go my own way. You know what? That's good for you, but no, the truth of the Word of God is for everybody. Read through Hosea this past week. In chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, actually last week, it says this in 4 verse 1, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy or knowledge of God in the land. God had a problem with a group of people. Why? Because they said to the law of God, we don't want it. Yeah, there is a limit to truth. Not on God's end, but it's on our end. Without truth, there is no confidence, there is no power. But with it, there is certainty. Isn't that a blessing? In Romans chapter 1, we see this awful progression of a taking truth and willfully saying, no, I don't want that. Say, how does that go? It does not go well. It does not go well, nor will it go well in our life. So, in conclusion, Joshua 24:14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. What am I going to do with this? Well, if you're not saved, I recommend that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. And then walk in truth. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. Let's do that just for a second. Girls sang about it. We can evaluate in our own life. Consider how great things God has done for you. And then when he says, will you serve me? And go, no, I want to go do my own thing. What? No, serve him in truth with all your heart. Last week of football, this week before the playoffs, some teams are right on the edge. You know what the coach is saying? Play with all your heart. Here we are in the last days. Can I encourage you, serve him with all your heart. Psalm 51 and verse 6, behold, thou dearest truth, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. 1 John 1, 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Last verse, Proverbs 16, 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Can I encourage you here this morning? Seek truth. What does that mean? Here we are at the new year. Make the Word of God a top priority of your life. See, I'm so confused about what to do with my life or what's going on. I have so many questions about things. I look out at what's going on and I it just doesn't make sense to me. And I'm going to tell you, you're probably not in the Scriptures. Get a hold of the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible, come see me. We have, Mr. Pastor Seaman, we still have some downstairs? Yes. If you don't have your own Bible, come see me. I'd love to put a free Bible in your hands. Take it. It'll be my gift to you. I'd love for you to have one. Why? Because this is truth. This will change your life. Speak truth. Walk in truth. Serve the Lord. In truth. Here we are, 2022. Make the truth of the Word of God a top priority. It'll clear up a lot of things. I talk to a lot of people. A lot of people ask me a lot of questions about landscape of things. And some things I know and some things I don't know. The only things I feel confident about saying I know is what God says. Is this this? Well, let's see what the Scripture says. Is this what's going on? Well, let's see what the scripture says. Man, it's so great to be able to go to something that is always true and it is never wrong. And always has our best interest. I encourage you to follow. Seek it. Kids love to play hide and seek. They play it inside. I mean, we've lived in the same house for, Abby, you're 14 years. There are no new hiding spots, but yet they still continue to play hide and go seek. And it's just the seeking that's fun. And they then it turns into how bad can I scare you is pretty much what hide and seek turns into at our house. A lot of screaming, a lot of yelling, a lot of running. But there's an active looking. Are you seeking truth? Or are you limiting the truth and saying, I don't want it? Hey, as we study those passages, where there is no truth, there is no knowledge of God, and the inhabitants of the land were not better. Make a decision. I want truth. Let's all stand.